Now, tens of thousands of people are expected to attend the world's most important annual conference on climate change, which starts today. COP29 is being held in Baku, the capital of Azerbaijan. Representatives of almost 200 countries will be meeting to discuss ways to address climate change and agree on solutions to protect the environment. Now, a big focus at this year's meeting will be on how to get more money to poorer countries to help them curb greenhouse gases and to become more resilient against climate change. Our environment correspondent George Lee joins us now from COP29 in Azerbaijan. George, good morning. It's still morning time there, a few hours ahead. This is a conference that world leaders are known to attend, given the acknowledgement of how critical this issue of climate change is. However, there are some notable absentees this year.
Well, there certainly are in terms of the leaders, because we know that the US president is not going to be here, and also the election of Donald Trump as the next incoming president of the United States, and his previous effort to previously took the United States out of the Paris Agreement, and he is more likely and is expected to do the same again. That casts a shadow. We don't have the Russian president, the Chinese president, the president of the European Union, the president of Brazil. So a lot of really big players are not sending their number one people. That doesn't mean they're not going to be represented here, but it does show that the level of big, huge engagement in this isn't as big as it would have been before, even though the issues are absolutely critical.
Now, last year in Dubai, there was progress made with almost every country in the world agreeing to transition away from fossil fuels. But the focus now is really on that tricky issue of providing enough money to help poorer countries. And that will be something that will be priority there, a key focus.
Yes, the number one issue here, and everybody has said, and it's marketing itself, if there is such a term, as being the finance cop, that these are the negotiations where it's a case of stand and deliver. You've got to cough up money to make it available to the two-thirds of the world who cannot afford to invest in climate action, to respond to the climate disasters, to transition their economies, to do what's needed to stop the growth in emissions, because we all effectively breathe the same air. You cannot, in the likes of, say, Europe, say we're doing our best, we're reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and think that's going to protect you. You have to help the poorer countries to do the same, otherwise you don't make progress. So the big focus here, and it has been a focus in many years to try and move forward in terms of financial assistance for those developing countries, but the focus this time is to get it done. Now, getting it done is going to be very difficult, because there was a commitment in 2009 to provide up to $100 billion a year in climate finance available for developing countries. It took until 2022 to deliver $100 billion. The ask here this time is at least $1 trillion a year to be made available, so that less developed countries will be able to draw that money down, to draw it down sometimes in terms of grants, sometimes in terms of very low, easily accessed credit facilities. But where is that money going to come from? And there is enormous pressure to achieve that, and our own minister Eamon Ryan will be playing a significant part in that.
And I suppose how much the wealthier countries should contribute will surely be hard to negotiate, because there has been concerns raised about the countries like China, which remain in a category of developing countries and are exempt from financing poorer countries. So will other nations continue to accept this, do you think, or do you think that will change now at this COP?
I'd say there'll be skin and hair flying over that issue. The reality is the definition of developing countries, which is being used by the United Nations, is a list of countries which were defined as developing nations in 1992. And we know everything that's happened since then. The massive increase in the size of the Chinese economy, the extra wealth which is there, the wealth which has been accumulated in the oil-producing producing countries. Saudi Arabia was a developing country and is on the list of that. So is Qatar, so is United Arab Emirates. These are countries who are loaded with the proceeds of selling fossil fuels for 30 years, the last 30 years, and have been really still presenting themselves as a developing country. Now, the issue about that is if they're a developing country, they can draw down these funds on very attractive terms if it's made available, and also they would not be expected to contribute. So nobody here apart from those countries wants to accept that. They think China and the Arab countries who have the oil riches should be reclassified. So big battles over that ahead.
Let's look at another issue. It's the second year in a row when the host of COP is under particular scrutiny. Many environmentalists are unhappy that a massive oil producing nation is hosting the talks for a second year in a row. And there are reports too in recent days of possible side deals being done, which would contradict all that this summit is striving for.
Yeah, it's a bit like deja vu in a way, because last year we had the same kind of row when United Arab Emirates in Dubai, that the president of the COP then he had received notes which made it clear that United Arab Emirates saw opportunities in the amount of meetings that would take place to copper fasten the attractiveness of what the United Arab Emirates and the oil producers were trying to sell and to do oil deals. That was very controversial. And again, this time we've had a kind of a sting operation whereby the chief executive appointed to the COP presidency here that he was recorded also giving advice in relation to the potential for oil deals and gas deals, which would have benefited the country here, Azerbaijan, and that ultimately it looks like the same thing again, you know, that you can't trust the oil producers. And it goes to the heart of the cynicism there is among the environmentalists and among climate scientists about allowing this process, which is so critical in terms of putting right the climate emergency, allowing that to be, I suppose, guided or dictated to in terms of the proceedings by oil producers. But there isn't a lot that can be done.
Well, COP continues until November 22nd, so there'll be lots more from there. But for now, our environment correspondent, George Lee, thank you.